sitting in for George Norrie. Cops in Wisconsin stopped a driver who was displaying a bit too much holiday spirit by the way of a rather lengthy string of Christmas lights that covered his car. Behind the wheel was teenager Tyler Kamholz, who told a local TV station he came up with the idea from, a video he saw on YouTube a few years ago. Despite a warning from his father, a retired police officer, the young man took to the streets in his veritable Christmas mobile festooned with colorful lights. However, as is often the case with parents' misgivings, the words of the teenager's father proved to be prophetic as he was soon spotted by a state trooper and pulled over for the festive decorations on the car. Although the officer told the young man that he appreciated, or rather she appreciated, the unique concept, she also informed him that it was indeed illegal, as there are strict rules as to what kind of colored lights one may have on their vehicle. Fortunately, in the spirit of the season, Kamholz was left off with just a warning and actually wound up getting a gift of sorts that many teenagers would love to receive, a bit of viral fame. That's because a social media post from the Wisconsin State Patrol showcasing his colorful but illegal ride was picked up by TV stations around the country and shared widely online. And it ended up on Facebook everywhere. The young man marveled, revealing that he plans to keep the lights on the car through the holiday, but be more careful about where he drives, lest he gets spotted by the cops again. And you can see the car decked out with the Christmas lights in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. More of my conversation with Micah Dank on astrotheology when Coast to Coast AM continues. We are back with Micah Dank, the author of the Into the Rabbit Hole series of books, 3 volumes. We're talking astrotheology. We were talking about Aquarius, the water bearer, and Jesus' baptism. And then, of course, after his baptism, Christ begins his ministry. So first of all, he takes disciples and from among the fishermen. This, of course, lines up with the sign Pisces. Tell me more about that sign.
So Pisces is the sign of the two fish. They face forward and back to each other. In Christianity, Jesus at one point feeds the masses with two fish. At one specific point, when he's given 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Bread being Virgo, by the way, but he feeds them with the two fish, which is Pisces. The symbol of on a car, the Jesus fish, that's where that comes from too. That's about it when it comes to Pisces.
Okay, so the next sign then would be, I believe, Aries, right? That's the lamb.
That's right. Yes.
Or it's actually Aries is a ram. It's a full grown, you know, with the horns and so forth.
That's right.
So tell me about Aries.
In Aries, you have March 21st, which is the spring equinox, the 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. It's also the Passover. The Jews celebrate the Passover around the equinox. Or in astrotheology, it's the passing over of the sun over the equator and back on its way to its height in the summer solstice. In Christianity, the passing over is changed from the Passover to the resurrection of God's Son, as Easter is around that time as well, too. The Jews were the people of Aries. That's why they smear the lamb's blood on the door to protect them. It's also why the Jews blow the ram's horn to the sky. It's because it's Aries worship. These are the people of Aries.
Okay, and then we mentioned the crab earlier, which is Cancer, but there's something else interesting going on here because Cancer, the crab, it crawls backwards. And
right.
Christ said something about, he spoke about backsliders, which kind of is reminiscent of a crab crawling backwards. Is there anything more to Cancer and Jesus' life?
Well, Cancer is... it's the crab. It actually moves sideways too. And the reason it's Cancer and it moves sideways is because, as I told you, the sun rises a degree. June 21st is in Cancer. That's the height. And then for 3 days, the sun moves sideways before it starts decreasing a degree every single day. And like I mentioned, in ancient Egyptian times, it was known as the scarab. But as far as, I never thought of that one, to be honest with you, as far as that goes with cancer. I'll have to look into that a little bit more.
Right. I'm trying to think of Christ referring to backsliders. I'm assuming meaning, you know, backsliding from the faith. And I just, you know, it struck me that the crab does kind of, well, backwards, but as you say, also walk sideways. There's also something with John the Baptist, because you mentioned the summer solstice, and John the Baptist, at a certain point, he says, after the baptism, in fact, he says, he must increase as I must decrease, which kind of mirrors that with what's going on with the sun, right?
Correct. So what happens with he must increase, I must decrease. If you imagine these two characters being little tiny nodules on the zodiac wheel, Jesus starting December 25th, he's starting to increase a degree every day. John is June 24th, who decreases a degree every day. And the interesting thing about that is how you know that that's the case is because St. John's Day is June 24th, which is exactly 6 months away from December 25th. So when one increases, one must decrease, and that's how it always is.
When did you start to become involved in astrotheology, Micah?
Oh, man, I would say like 7-8 years ago. I got into it with some of the old school people that I was... with some of the old school people that I was telling you about earlier on. I just started watching them, and I reached out to Santos a couple times. And because once I was able to do this, I was able to do something like take the Book of Matthew and completely decode it line for line and show that it is astrology hidden, which is incredible because you could read the story on face value and it tells a story, but then you read it astrologically and it tells another story. For example, in the Book of Matthew, there's a section. Are you familiar with Jesus going for 40 days?
Yes, yes.
And then the temptation? Well, it's very simple because it starts in July, and you just count 40 days. And when you count 40 days, you get to, I believe it's August 2nd, I believe so. I'll have to double check. But it gets to August 2nd, which is Virgo. It's not August 2nd. I'm sorry. And I'm butchering this right now. But basically, you count 40 days, and it puts you in the sign of Virgo. And then the next sentence is Satan saying, can you turn these stones into loaves of bread? Well, the loaf of bread is Virgo with the wheat. So it matches up perfectly when you read the story and you follow it along the zodiac. But as far as when I became interested, I would say about 7-8 years ago, and I just became so enthralled with it because it was so interesting and it seemed to give me so many answers I was looking for that I just had to write a book series about it. See, my books that I wrote are I'm the only one who's writing about this kind of stuff in the way I am. I've written a series of 6 books. They're thrillers where the characters discover all the information. All the information that we've gone over now is just a blip as far as what I have in my books. And on top of which, it's not just astrology, but it's also conspiracy theories. It's also hidden knowledge, secret information, sacred knowledge that's been hidden from the masses. So I've been getting it out that way, and it's been doing pretty well so far.
Let's move on in the zodiac sign, and I want to talk about Leo the lion, which is sort of the king of the signs of the zodiac, right?
Right, he's the king. Oh, which reminds me, Aries. We were just talking about Aries. He's also known as the Lamb of God.
Right, right.
In Leo, he's known as the Lion of Judah. The ruling planet of Leo is actually the sun. So whenever they talk about Jesus being in his glory and his kingdom, they're talking about the sun in Leo.
Right, which is July, August, when the sun is at its hottest and, as you know, it's most powerful, presumably.
Absolutely.
All right, so have we covered off most of the signs? I think we have. I wanted to ask you about the cross, because if you look at the, of course, you know, the cross, the crucifixion, but also when you look at the zodiac, the signs of the zodiac, there's in the middle of the zodiac, you have a cross. Tell me about that.
Okay. So the solstices and the equinox, if you look at a zodiac wheel, Capricorn is always at the bottom and Cancer is always at the top, which makes sense because the sun's at the bottom in Capricorn, December 25th, and the sun's always at the top in Cancer. But if you connect the solstices and the equinox together, okay, that forms a cross. That's known as the cross of God's Son. Okay? And the interesting thing, too, about this is, do you remember when a couple of years ago they tried to add Ophiuchus to the zodiac?
Oh, that's right, the 13th. Yes. I'd forgotten about that. So, that didn't really catch on, did it?
No, it didn't. And it was a psyop done from people. The elites who really know what's going on, because if the 13th sign was added, then literally everything I just spoke to you about does not make sense, because it does not follow the right patterns in the signs. The 13th sign was not in the Bible back. It was not written for that. It doesn't make sense. And it was basically tried to add to keep people further away from this truth. But thank God it didn't actually catch on.
I wanted, as we're approaching Christmas, of course, we have the in 3 days. I mentioned this off the top of the program tonight. We have Saturn and Jupiter coming together. Right. They call it the Great. What do they call it? The Great Conjuncture, where these conjunction. Yes, they appear as if they're one giant star, and. Johannes Kepler said that there was such a conjunction around 7 BC. What do you think of that? Do you think that may have been what the Star of Bethlehem was referring to, the coming together of Saturn and Jupiter?
It certainly is possible. Absolutely. It certainly is possible. Absolutely.
Okay.
I like that, actually. I like that. I would agree with that. But wasn't he born supposedly at 5 or 3 BC?
I've heard different dates. Some have said around 7 because the reign of King Herod had to coincide, of course, with the reign of King Herod, because he wanted all the babies slain, because he was anticipating this prophecy of the Messiah coming and challenging his reign. So I've heard 7. I've heard 7 or 6 BC. I've heard different dates. Now, in terms of there's astral theology, but there's also astrolatry. So we have the worship of stars and other heavenly bodies as deities. Talk to me a little bit about astrolatry. Is that something that you get into?
I don't really take too much into that. Although I don't believe like you do, I believe in a prime creator. And to me, I wouldn't worship God's work. You know, I find it hard to define what God is, but I do believe in a creator, and I wouldn't want to worship his work when you could just give thanks and praise to him. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. You worship the creator, not the creation. But that's what astrolatry was all about, right? Was worshiping. The people that worship the stars, they actually believe the stars were were gods, or the planets were gods.
Right. Well, that's where it eventually the Greeks and the Romans too, because you got to understand is that constellations are just made up of stars. So it, in itself, it is astrology to worship constellations, in a sense.
Right, right. Do you use astrology as a form of divination? I mean, do you believe that you can predict future events based on the alignment of certain planets and stars?
I think there is something to it. Do I know it? No, that's not what I really do. What I mostly do is decode the Bible using astrotheology. That's what I basically do. I don't take much as far. I mean, I get my birth chart done every year, or I started to, I should say. But I don't take much when it comes to that. I pretty much stick in my own lane.
Right, right. Okay. I wanted to open up the phone lines here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll take questions and comments for Micah Dank, the author of Into the Rabbit Hole, the series of books. Now, there are three published, but you have, or are there six published? You said you had six books now?
I have three published. My third one came out 4 days ago. It's Into the Rabbit Hole, and the first one is called Beneath the Veil. The second one is called The Sacred Stones, which has to do with the Egyptian pyramids and what they actually were, what they were used for initially. And then the third one is The Secret Weapon. And all of these books have this kind of astrology decoding the Bible codes and all these kind of conspiracies that you guys are very familiar with on Coast to Coast, and some that you're very much not familiar with.
A little bit like Dan Brown, would that be a fair comparison?
My books are like if Dan Brown... main character in Da Vinci Code was Neo from The Matrix.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. So what kinds of conspiracies? You mentioned the pyramids and so forth, but what else do you delve into into the Rabbit Hole series?
Well, without giving too much away, my characters figure out who gets placed on the money and why certain people get placed on the currency. And it's not as good as you think it is. It's really, it's really kind of shocking. And that's just the first book. I talk about MK Ultra a lot in the first book. That's the main storyline plot, is about MK Ultra. I talk about, well, I'll give you an example of one. How about that? Does that work for you?
We'll do that when we come back. Micah, we'll take a timeout, come back, open up the phone lines. Micah Dank on Astrotheology. Here's George Harrison taking us into the break with Brainwashed on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. And sitting in for George Norrie, say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Your questions and comments for Micah Dank as we continue to delve into Astrotheology right here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, let's go to the phones for Micah Dank as we continue to discuss astrotheology, and we go to Bismarck, North Dakota, and Robert on the wildcard line. Robert, welcome.
Cheers. How's everybody doing?
Terrific. Thank you.
Good.
All right. I'm a 25-year Canadian trained chef, but I'm an American citizen. Anyways, Micah, I wanted to ask you about if you know about the biblical months, how they were named, because I've studied for about 4 years to be a minister back in the mid-80s. And Jesus was born in the month known as Nisan 14, the first 2 weeks of Nisan 14. And he passed in Nisan 7, which is halfway around it, which is the birth is actually the first 2 weeks of October during a rainy season. And we celebrate the Christmas birth because it was intertwined with the Roman pagan holiday for solstice. So it's the Romans and the Jewish, the birth of Christ was put together to celebrate all that at once. So that's just for factual part. But with your dates you're talking about in the years and the wheat and the wine, that works with the birth, the bread and the body. You understand the beginning of life, the same. But anyways, I wanted to ask you if you knew about the biblical months, like that.
The months, from what I remember, are Nisan, Iyar, Elul, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat. And the interesting thing, too, is there's Adar, which is the last month. And the Hebrew calendar is an interesting thing, because whereas we have an extra day in the in our Caesarian, Gregorian, whatever you want to call it, calendar that we have right now, I know people that use both. That's why I say that. But oddly enough, we have an extra day in February. The Jews have an extra month every 4 years. So it kind of throws things off a little bit. Nisan 14 is actually, I believe, the day of the Passover. I believe that's the first night of the Passover. I've heard everything. I've heard Jesus to be born during the Feast of the Tabernacles. I've heard, of course, December 25th to coincide with the pagan. Absolutely, that's 100% true. But as far as how the months were named, I'm not entirely sure how the months were named. I'm just familiar with them. And as far as the significance goes with modern-day naming, we do know that September, October, November, December, that Sept, Oct, Nov, Des, or whatever, is 7, 8, 9, 10. They used to be 10 months, so it changed. But I'm not too familiar as far as the Jewish months, as far as where the names came from, to be honest with you.
Robert, did you want to add anything?
I just was asking, I wanted to know if he does that with the astrology he's using in with theology. I've been studying it. I've got like 200 different astrologers contacting me every day. My emails again. I'm studying medicine man and shaman. I'm Native American and half and half. But I grew up in the Lutheran faith from 5 on, and then left the church and went back to traditional Indian church, I believe, so to speak, call it. But I was just wondering with that if that was included in part of your knowledge, and that with the birth it's and his death were kind of like one's nice and 7, one's nice and 14, and this and nice and
everything pretty much works off of the Christian calendar as far as my astrology astrology knowledge.
Robert, thanks so much for the call. Let's say hi to Monique in Sunland, California, on the Wildcard Line. Monique, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you so much. And so the question for your guest, Micah, and I love that name, by the way. Love the rock.
Thank you.
I noticed many years ago when I started getting attuned to people's what signs they were born under, I noticed that some of them actually look like their sign. For instance, Cancerians, they seem to have cheeks that look heart-shaped like a crab. Also, Leos, many times their hair is orange or blondish, and they have kind of like this boldish, wild look. And not just your sign, but the water, like your water sign, your eyes look very deep, whereas the fire signs, their eyes look bold, and the air signs, they have like a little gleam, and the earth signs, their eyes look more solid. And I was wondering if you think that the ancients might have picked up on this, and this has something to do with what they label, you know, people as. I mean, can you speak to any of that, the physical traits?
Yeah.
All right,
well,
Monique,
I mean,
good question.
Like I mentioned, Santos Bonacci does a lot of work on this. He has books and folders full of this. As far as Leo go, yes, their hair, kind of like a lion's mane. Taurians, the Taurus, they tend to have like thick necks. Let's see, what else?
Well, I'm a Capricorn, and from time to time, if the mighty Aphrodite is annoyed with me, she'll call me a smelly old goat. I don't know if that counts.
You know, it's interesting. Like Gemini, they almost like two people in one, in a way. Their facial features don't always line up perfectly. I think absolutely they knew this. This is a very ancient science. This isn't exactly the kind of science that I'm in, but I can guide you. I would tell you, you can look up Santos Banocci and look up his work on this. And this is absolutely a true thing. I mean, I just gave you a couple examples of what I am familiar with. But the ancient state, they most certainly knew this.
All right, Monique, thank you for the call. Let's say hi to Terry is in Ohio, the Buckeye State this morning. Terry, welcome to Coast AM.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, Micah.
Good evening.
I'd like to make a comment, and then I have a question, if I may. I wanted to comment on something that Richard said earlier. There's a book, and it's written by a guy, first name Glenn. I can't remember his last name right now. And he wrote, he's got several books on facts, biblical facts that are not included in our modern Bible. But I do agree that Jesus Christ was born in 7 B.C. because Herod died in 4 B.C., and he issued his edict, which is commonly known historically as the Massacre of the Innocents, at a time that Christ would have probably been around 1 to 2 years old. And Joseph was visited by an angel in Egypt when Christ was 3 and told that he could return, which would have meant that Herod, his death would have coincided with that. And that was in 4 B.C. because that's recorded historically. So I do agree that the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter was most likely the star of Bethlehem. And keep in mind, we have that conjunction coming up now. And
that's right, in 3 days.
The star of Bethlehem also corresponds to the star of Israel, the star of David. And I believe... actually, it's kind of been revealed to me through a lot of prayer that this will coincide with the birth of the Antichrist, and we're moving into the end times. And the Antichrist will have to have the sign of the Star of Bethlehem to point to proclaim himself as the false Messiah. Now,
interesting. All right.
My question had to do with his claim about the Sinai. Because I've studied a little bit, too, and Sinai actually comes from the Hebrew root words of sunun, and it actually means the thorn, because it has to do with the burning bush, which was a thorny bush. So I'm wondering where he's getting his information, because it sounds like he's referring to the Sumerian god, Sin, rather than the Egyptian god, Yahweh.
Interesting. All right. Correct. Micah, did you want to respond to that?
Yes. No, that's correct. He's right about that. It is the ancient Sumerian. Everything has been passed down. The Jews, a lot of it comes from, like, for example, the Ten Commandments come from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, chapter 125. It's called the 12 Negative Confessions. There's been a lot of hand-me-over from that time. However, there has been older hand-me-over as well, too. You have to understand these religions, they blend. They tend to blend with each other. So absolutely, I'm not sure where you got your information from. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying is that what my information is or what my information says is just through research that I've done. And, I mean, I stand by it, to be honest with you, because it makes sense. Jews did completely revolve around the moon. That's why they still have a lunar calendar to this day.
All right, Terry, thank you for the call. Let's say hi to Donna in Benson, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Donna, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, Richard. Now, hi, Micah. I'm enjoying your program. You were saying that the Jews and the planet Saturn with the rings, and you were saying that, you know, they put rings in their ears and rings on their finger. And this question came out of left field to me. How did the ancient Jews know that Saturn had rings around it thousands of years ago before the telescope?
Well, that's a wonderful
That's a great question, Donna.
That's a great question. I would say they would know it the same exact way. You familiar with Universal Pictures, the movie studio?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, they had a globe in 1923 as their main sign before we even knew what the globe looked like. So there, between calculations and ancient civilizations were much more advanced than we would like to believe. They were able to calculate and they were able to know this. I don't have the exact answer as to how they knew it, but I can tell you there's plenty of things that aren't supposed to be that were.
All right, Donna, thank you for that. Let's say hi to Michael in Ontario. Hey, Michael, welcome to Coast.
Hello, Richard, and hello, Mike. Somebody took away part of my question here, so just to ask it again, what is the significance of this star or alignment of the planets? I was told that this is an alignment of Venus and Saturn, and you were talking about the Christmas star earlier on with Jupiter and all that. I was also told that this alignment seems to happen every 100 years or something like that, so it's nothing too supernatural, but maybe there is a meaning to this.
Okay.
Well, it is Jupiter and Saturn, not Venus, as far as I know. And it's Jupiter, they do, their orbits kind of cross. Yeah, their orbits cross every 20 years, I think, but what they call a great conjunction only happens something like every 800 years. In other words, they're never this close, except every 800 years or so.
Well, it's more than that, too. They're actually conjoining in Aquarius, which a lot of people are using right now to signify the beginning of the Age of Aquarius, but the Age of Aquarius actually began December 21st, 2012, when the Mayan calendar ran out. It was the end of their age. So it was the beginning of Aquarius.
Interesting.
We've been in Aquarius for 8 years right now. So, yes, they do conjunct, absolutely, but not this big and not in Aquarius. The last time they conjuncted in Aquarius was, I think, 1226 AD, I believe. And they could have conjuncted in 7 BC. I'll have to look into that a little bit more, but I'm starting to enjoy that idea.
Well, yeah, that's according to Johannes Kepler, the conjunction happening, the great conjunction happening in 7 BC. Let's say hi to Ed in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ed, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hey, thanks, Richard. By the way, you had someone recently in the last month from Mexico that has evidence and pointed out evidence that the Mayan calendar did not run out in 2012, but it's just now getting ready to run out. You said one of your books had why the pyramids are here, and my thinking from what I've seen is has something to do with energy, a lot to do with energy. So I'd like to know what you're thinking is why the pyramids are here. And also, I know some people that originally went over and helped discover the Dead Sea Scrolls in the late 40s, and I think they have 43 books in the Old Testament and all the books but one. But there were two copper scrolls, apparently. In other words, they wanted that to be more permanent. One of them had to do with an astrological reading in which the person would have long teeth and blah, blah, blah. So they apparently considered that pretty important. So I'd like to hear your opinions on the pyramid and that. Thanks.
Okay. So the...
All right, Ed, thank you.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
So okay. So the calendar actually did end in 2012. That wasn't a mistake. A lot of people are saying that it should have been 2021, but that's not the case. It was actually 2012. Secondly, the pyramids themselves, I'm not going to give away. Well, I mean, my books are fiction, but there's truth in them. I talk about the reality of what things are. So much the same way that 1984 did, much the same way that Jules Verne did, much the same way that Aldous Huxley did. But beyond that, the pyramids tend to be They're first of all, you have to understand is their capstones have been removed, and that's where the key energy is. If the capstones are put back, they're energy devices. They're pure energy devices. That's why they're built everywhere. In fact, the pyramids in Egypt are actually set to line up against Orion's belt perfectly. So that was that. And I forget the last part of the question. What? I apologize.
Oh, he was asking about the Copper Scrolls. I don't know if that's an area you get into or not.
Yeah, so I don't really get into that, but the thing is that you have to understand is that there were plenty of books in the Bible that were removed. The Book of Enoch, there were plenty of Gnostic texts that were removed. The reason they were removed is because they openly talked about astrology. Okay, whereas the books in the Bible now are closed covertly talking about astrology. So they can't openly talk about astrology, otherwise they can't hide it from you. And that's basically why they did that. Every time they find a new text that talks openly about astrology, they call it witchcraft and this, that, and the other thing. But that's why.
Micah, how do we get a copy or copies of your Into the Rabbit Hole series?
So you can go on Apple or Amazon, wherever you're located. Just type my name, Micah Dank. Or type in Micah Dank Into the Rabbit Hole. My first three books are out. The first is called Beneath the Veil. The second one is called The Sacred Stones. The third one is called The Secret Weapon. And I'm telling you, nobody is writing about things the way that I'm writing about it. And I promise you, you're going to love them.
Micah, a real pleasure. Thank you so much for this. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
Micah Hank. All right. Thank you, Micah Dank. All right. Open lines on the other side. Here's Esther Phillips taking us into the break with Just Say Goodbye on Coast to Coast AM.